Deuteronomy chapter 8 in your Bible tonight, and God willing, we'll finish where we started last week. This theme that God laid on our hearts about hunger. Hopefully you had dinner before you came tonight or grabbed some peanuts or something, because you start talking about hunger, and if you didn't have supper, you might have some growling noises. What do you think, Gloria? Did you have something to eat before you came tonight? You did? Okay, so if your dad's stomach starts growling, you can just maybe elbow him a little bit, you know, nicely, but I'm sure that wouldn't happen. But Deuteronomy chapter number 8, last week we began this lesson, and let's pray and then we'll get into it. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be in church tonight. We do thank you for those that are joining us outside of the building by way of the live stream meeting. We pray, God, that your will would be done now as we open your word. Please, Holy Spirit of God, empty us of ourselves and fill us with your spirit, that we might gain what you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen. We talked last week about Egypt, Canaan, and the wilderness. Just quick review. We said that Egypt, as some of you know, I'm sure, is a picture of the world, the pleasure, the power that the world can offer, as well as the darkness that sin brings. We talked about Canaan, and many times songs are depicted to tell us that Canaan is heaven. But we know that Canaan is actually a picture of the victorious Christian life, the abundant life. By the way, that's what God wants for you. That's what God wants for me. He wants us to have an abundant life. But then we focused in on the wilderness. And do we remember how many years did the people wander in the wilderness? 40 years, that's right. And the picture that we mentioned last week about the wilderness is the picture of the trials and hardships of life. This journey from Kadesh Barnea, had they done it as the time would have allotted, it would have been done in 13 days. But it took 40 years. Now, again, there are some ways of looking at that they didn't listen to God, and that's true. But we also know in our own personal lives, we don't always listen. And so thankfully, God just doesn't, you know, boom, that's it. If you don't listen one time, it's over. Then he says, okay, if that's the way you want it, then we're going to send you this way. And we're going to send you the long way, the scenic route, right? And so, but yet there was much to learn while they were on this particular journey. And we alluded to how do we consider blessings of life. And a lot of times we talk about prosperity and possessions and things like that. And yet, we alluded to the fact that actually trials and difficulties and hunger is where we really discover the blessings of God. And we look down at verse number 3, where God's word says, "And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger." It means he allowed them to get hungry. And we said hunger is a good thing. And it's a good thing our bodies know physically when it's hunger, or else, you know, we wouldn't eat. But we weren't talking about that. We were talking about spiritual hunger, which is even better. We said in Matthew 5, 6, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And so, but what does hunger teach us? The school of hunger, hunger school. Number one, we said to observe. We see that in verse number 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do. What does God want me to see? What does God want me to do with my life? And we talked about Isaiah 6:1, where Isaiah observed and he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And again, we're not going to re-preach all of this. And then number two, we said the word remember. Remember. God wanted them, and God wants me to remember that humility is a great need. And we saw that in verses 2 and 3. Verses 2 and 3. We just read it a moment ago. Remember the way God led thee in the wilderness to humble thee, verse 2. To prove thee, to know what was in thine heart. And then in verse 3, humbled thee. And that's what we left off with, was remember. So observe, remember. Let's jump into this tonight. The third benefit of the school of hunger is to consider. To consider. And we see this in verses 5 and 6, where God's word says, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Now, if you're following along in our devotions in the morning, the timing of this is amazing, quite frankly. And so God's emphasizing something today. He emphasized it this morning in our Bible reading, and now he's emphasizing it tonight. So really take notice when that happens, right? Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. So consider tonight, again, in the school of hunger, that God's discipline, when God disciplines, it is coming from a God who we know is a God of love. This is discipline that I need. This is discipline that you need. The more that God disciplines, the more my life can bring glory to God. And Hebrews 12, 5 to 7, that's what we read this morning. We won't turn there for time's sake, but that was the passage I added that in, actually, to my notes after reading that this morning. And so what's the idea, though? What's the saying here? Well, we need this discipline for preparing to enter Canaan. What's Canaan? The victorious Christian life. If I'm going to live the victorious Christian life, I'm going to have to live a disciplined life. I'm going to have to know that if I do this, then God's going to bless. And it isn't the fact that I have to, it's the fact that I want to. I get to. I'm privileged to. I need discipline if I'm going to gain the most from the time of hunger. Now, discipline. We always think of discipline in the sense of parenting a lot of the time, right? If you don't obey, then there's going to be discipline involved. A parent who loves their child disciplines the child, teaches the child, as it says here in our text, that thou would consider that as a man chasteneth his son. So he says, take a step back and think about how a father chastens a son. He doesn't do that to simply bring pain or suffering or whatever into that child's life. No, because he knows where that disobedience is going to take the child. He knows where that rebellion is going to take the child. And so because a father and a mother or anyone that is influencing children know that we want to train them and teach them. And so the example here that Moses is giving is saying, okay, when you're going through the school of hunger, when you're going through this time, don't miss the chastening and the value of it. This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. I don't know if that's true. I didn't think it was true as a child, but then I realized, yeah, as a parent, maybe that was true. Sometimes we think, okay, I'm not going to discipline my child because I don't want to, and I'm not going into discipline, and I'm not going into all of that tonight, but there is something to it. In fact, Proverbs 29:15, I will give you that verse. The Bible says, the rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. So we're going through it. But see, again, this isn't necessarily a message about child rearing as so much it is that is what we're supposed to look at and consider that. So that when we come to a season of chastening, we recognize God really loves me. God really loves me that he would keep me from doing more damage. That he would say, stop, that's it. Don't do that. That he would keep me from going further down the road. God disciplines me and God disciplines us because he loves us. And so as we're going through the wilderness, as we're going through this time of challenge and difficulty and hunger, let's consider this discipline. Let's consider this chastening. And what does it cause us to do? Verse 6 says, therefore. Okay, that's why the word therefore is there. Okay, it points back to the previous verse. So because of the chastening hand of the Lord, and because of considering what happened the last time I did this, and considering the last time I said this, the last time I went the wrong way, considering that and what happened, therefore I'm not going to do it again. I'm going to keep the commandments of the Lord. I'm going, why? Not because I necessarily fear God in the sense of I'm afraid of him, but I do fear God. I respect him in a sense of a reverential, I don't want to disappoint God. And I think that's the mentality that we need to transfer from, I don't want to get a spanking. That's what we're trying to transfer in our kids, isn't it? Not so much that I don't want to get a spanking, it's that I love my dad. And I love my mom. And I don't want to disappoint them. And I remember what disappointed them last time. And so as Christians, we have a Heavenly Father. And he's saying, consider something. Consider what happened last time. And we think about what God did so that we could be called his child. We think about what God gave up so that we could even say, Abba, Father, here's my list. I mean, here's my praises. But, you know, prayer is asking, okay? Yeah, we shouldn't always just be going with our list of things and what we need. But there is, that is part of it. But what gives us the privilege to even do that? And as we consider that, considering what God did for us to be able to be called a Christian, when we consider that, then we say, I want to follow his word. It's not a sacrifice to obey God. It's a privilege. It's not a sacrifice to whatever you may think. And we have missionaries all over the world. And I got an update earlier today from Brother Trail. And he's got this prayer group on one of these supposed to be really secure platforms. And he was asking prayer for some people that he's working with. And I won't go into too much detail because we're still online. But, you know, all over the world. And, you know, it's not a have to. It's a get to. It's a want to. Because we consider the purpose of the chastening, and the root of the chastening is always love. And I want to encourage you kids that are here tonight and kids that are online tonight, and I pray that the home that you're in, that that's what the correction is always from. It is from a motivation. It is from a root of love for those children. And think about all that God has provided us as a church family. Think about all that God has done for us, and we consider those things. Number four, lastly. Look at verse 11. First word of verse 11, beware. That's the word. Beware. Let's read through these, though, carefully, okay? Let's let God's word really speak to us right now. I know we have been, but let's really focus in on these words. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. This has always challenged me, this part right here. Lest when thou hast eaten. Now remember, we're talking about the school of hunger. When thou hast eaten and art what? Full. Oh. And hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein. And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, what do we see in here? Thy silver and thy gold is what? Multiplied. And all that thou hast is multiplied. Wow. Things are really starting to move forward. Cattle are growing, multiplying. Gold and silver, got a full belly. Verse 14, then. That's really a transitional word there. He says, beware of this, because then what? Then thine heart be lifted up. Hold your finger right here. Sounds like the ice cream truck's outside. Oh, man, stop that ice cream truck. It almost sounds like a toy in the nursery or something. And those of you that are online can't hear it right now, I'm sorry. But we're hearing Give Your Dog a Bone, Old MacDonald Had a Farm right now. It's playing in my ear right over here. Anyway, now I can't stop thinking about Old MacDonald Had a Farm. Well, we were just talking about cattle and things, so right on cue, there comes the farm truck. Ezekiel 28. Oh, the Lord is so funny, I tell you. Thank you, Lord. That was really, I didn't even arrange that. Special music for tonight. Okay. Oh, boy. You can't laugh. Come on. That's, anyway. Exodus 28. Or Ezekiel, yeah. Now I'm all flabbergasted. Thank you. There. Yeah, Ezekiel. Focusing in on that, thine heart be lifted up. Then, okay, remember, beware. We'll get back to it here. Beware. Everything's looking good. Cattle, silver, full, you know, everything, the house. I mean, it's all amazing. Then thine heart be lifted up. Look what it says in Ezekiel 28:17. Thine heart was lifted up. Where does pride always start? In the heart. But who started it? This is Satan, right? This is talking about the devil. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. And on it goes. So the fourth point of this message is beware. Let's go back to our text. Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. So we're going through the trial, we're going through the difficulty, and we are considering, and we are following the admonition of the Lord, and we are remembering, and we're going through it, and as we should be, and what's going to come from obedience to the Lord? Always, obedience brings blessing. Always. Don't forget that. That's a good thing. Obedience brings blessing. But what we have to do is beware. Because as soon as those blessings come, the heart of man and mine and yours is so prone to say, yeah, my heart is lifted up. And we forget the Red Sea. And we forget, you know, all that God did. And we forget the hunger because now we have everything. Look what it says there. 14, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee. So, notice several things here under this, and I'm always captivated by repetitive things. So, firstly, he brought thee in verses 14 and 15. Do you see that? He brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And then in verse 15, he brought forth water. Who brought thee forth water. So he brought them out of bondage. He brought him out of bondage, but he brought water for them too. And then in verse 15, it says, he led thee. So he didn't just bring us out of Egypt in sense of saving us and then just, that's it. No, he continues to lead us. He brought thee. He led thee. But then in verse 16, notice, he fed thee. He fed thee. But then verse 16, it says, not only that he fed thee, but with manna, which thy fathers knew not. In other words, they'd never seen this before, that he might humble thee. So he brought thee. He led thee. He fed thee. He humbled thee. And then verse 16, he proved thee. But then in verse 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. The emphasis in this portion of the hunger school is the danger of prosperity. The danger even of the blessing. Again, hey, rejoice in the blessings of God. Rejoice in the goodness of God. Rejoice in the answer to prayer when you're praying for a financial need to be met. Rejoice in that. Rejoice in a new place to live if you're praying for that. Rejoice in victory. Rejoice in what we've seen as a church financially, even in the last couple of years. Miracle after miracle after miracle. But don't let it lift up our heart. Beware. We must continue to say, without the Lord, we're nothing. We don't have a dime to our name without the Lord's provision. He giveth us richly all things to enjoy. He gives us the air to breathe. He gives us all that we need. And so prosperity and affluency, again, you might disagree with my opinion, and I'm not giving this as a scriptural take, if you will, but an opinion that I've seen. Prosperity and affluency are much more dangerous than being needy. Why? Because it is of the heart to say, look what I have. And when we don't have it, we know we don't have it. Okay? That doesn't mean that people that have affluency aren't living for the Lord. Look, folks, I would say a lot of us are affluent in the sense of we have so much compared. It is dangerous. Here's the problem. It is dangerous to begin thinking that my work ethic has provided everything I have. Well, I've worked hard. Okay, but how did you work hard? Verse 18, for it is God that giveth thee power to get wealth. Well, I've put in a lot of years. Yes, but it is God that giveth thee power to get wealth. Beware. God only gives the power to have what we need and even more than what we need sometimes. Praise the Lord. This is true of the individual. This is true of the church. Beware. The blessings of God are meant to be taken in and then given out. God blesses me, I bless others. God blesses you, you bless others. God blesses us as a church. We do all we can to bless as many people as we can. It doesn't necessarily always mean about finances, okay? But God takes care of us in numerous ways. And I believe what I've been challenged with in this one especially is just to beware that we don't let it go to our heart that it's of us. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for he it is that giveth thee power to get well. So the school of hunger. Observe. Observe. Remember. Consider. Hey, tonight, consider God's chastisement as his love on display. And be thankful for it. But then, blessings come. Beware. Because Satan is right around the corner and he's going to try to take that blessing and turn it into a time of pride that elevates our heart. And then when that comes in, it kind of ruins the blessing. Because God giveth grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. I'm thankful that God loves us so much that he puts us in the school of hunger. I'm thankful that God tests us, aren't you? I'm thankful that God proves us, as it said. But I'm thankful that God leads us, and he feeds us, and he humbles us, and he saved us. And it's a wonderful life, the Christian life. Wouldn't want it any other way. The journey of the Christian life. God, keep me hungry. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Hungering for the perfect will of God. The school of hunger. Observe, remember, consider, and beware.